undefined. I'm just beginning. The pen's in my hand.
It is 8:42 here on WRHI's Palmetto Morning. 75 degrees, sunny skies. Going to get up to 92 degrees today. I'm Chris Miller.
And I'm Chet Tucker.
You can find us on FM 100.1, AM 1340. We're also on CN2. That's Comporium Channel 102, as well as Facebook Live. And joining us in studio, Tyson Wright with Duke Energy. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Great timing for you to be in here. I saw coming across the social media feeds over the weekend with this extreme heat. You guys have put out a bulletin asking folks to keep their thermostat at a certain temperature.
Yeah, and you know, that's for both you and for Duke Energy. We all have, you know, those high bill squeeze and the really hot temperatures and the really cold temperatures. Saving energy reduces your bill, but it also helps us protect our electric grid during these high demand energy times.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because people are like, well, I don't want to put my temperature a bit lower. I'm not worried about my bill. But to your point, if everyone runs their air conditioning at 72, 71, that's going to make the AC basically never stops at that point.
Yeah, and you know, it may seem all fine and well when you're running it at 68 on this, you know, 99 degree days, and you think, you know, you don't care about your bill, but I've had sticker shock on my bill before. Yeah. Whenever you overspend on it. So it's good to at least be mindful about it. But then, yes, like you said, good for the grid, good for that demand system-wide to help us protect our reliability to the whole area.
So just be in mind, again, they recommend 78 to 79, and that's still going to feel amazing when you come in from outside when it's 99 degrees.
Exactly, yeah. Spend a little bit of time in direct sunlight and then come back inside.
Are there peak hours of the day of where that's most important, where, you know, maybe the drain on the grid is the highest?
That's a great question. We do see energy use top a lot of times in those peak sunshine hours, whenever people get home and start cooking. So that can look a lot between 3 to 5, but then also in the start of the day. So if you think about a lot of times what your routine's probably shifted off peak a little bit, but you know, for general people, when do you get up and get your kids ready and cook breakfast and shower, cook meals? Those are kind of the times that you want to shift off peak. So you can do lots of things. You could turn your fans on. You could spend a little time outside and during that time. You could grill. It's a great time for grilling outside, and don't bring that heat inside with you. So lots of good options and way to shift your energy usage, reduce your energy usage, and protect both your wallet and the grid.
We're speaking with Tyson Wright with Duke Energy. Tyson, the Duke Energy Foundation awarded quite a few hero grants over the last few weeks.
Yeah, those things are really fun. This is actually our 5th year doing this program, and it's a celebration of our emergency preparedness partners. As you all know, whenever severe weather hits, both Duke Energy line workers and employees get out there and start working. But it's not just us. We have partners in our communities. So that's emergency management folks, police officers, fire departments, county government. They all come and work hand in hand with us to get everything back to normal after severe weather. So this is a celebration of those partnerships, and really kind of just a handout to support and recognize those groups.
Number one, who were those groups? And number two, what does it look like financially for each of them?
Yeah, so we did more than 30 across the whole state.
Wow.
But we did many locally. So the city of Lancaster received one. I believe it was for $10,000. And that was a really neat one. It was for utility barricades. And I think it's a great example of what these grants are meant to do. During severe weather, a lot of time we see lines down across the road, and they want Duke Energy to respond and get those lines out, and we want to do that as well. But it can take a little bit of time, especially if we want to get our key infrastructure like traffic lights or hospitals back on. We might not be able to get to that line down, you know, on your secondary road as quickly as you want to. So typically, a police officer would have to be tied up blocking that road off when they need to respond to other things. But they applied for barricades to block those roads off, and it'll be able to release that police officer to go do more urgent things and give our line workers a little bit more grace to get out there on time. So I thought that was a really good example. Chester County received one for cots for their emergency shelters during storms. York County got a really cool cutting edge weather system for some of their park systems, so that patrons can be alerted whenever there's severe weather in the area so they can react safely and quickly. City of York received infrastructure for their command center during severe weather situations. And then finally, the town of Shaverin received upgrades for their siren system, which is both for weather and for our nuclear plant in the area.
And so this was specifically, they requested the grant based on different projects.
Yeah, different projects. And our ask is that for them to be centered around severe weather events. You can see really that they're reflections of what's important and what's identified in each community as a need and something to help them respond better in severe weather.
Folks hear about these. You do these annually, done annually?
Yes, yep. This is our fifth year. We typically try to do them in this late spring, early summer period because that's when we start seeing severe weather. We had some over the weekend. Yeah. I drove through a really nasty storm in the city of Rock Hill and received a severe weather alert. So I thought that was interesting because that severe weather alert would have been pushed through our county park system.
What was the total value of this around the state? Obviously, you know, you mentioned five places that were just in our Tri-County, but I know you said 30 different municipalities received
stuff. $500,000 across the whole state. They can be up to $20,000 each. So York County received $20,000. The town of Sharon, I believe, received $20,000. So the amount varies based off of the project. And, you know, it's a huge investment into our communities.
How many applicants do you normally get for something like this?
So many. It breaks your heart. I mean, I think I received nearly 20, 15 to 20 in just our, you know, Lancaster, York, Chester service territory. So it's very difficult, very competitive. So our little local community should be very proud that they were selected.
Yeah, you talk that many. I mean, you multiply that times three or four. I mean, you can see that's north of 200 applicants.
Exactly. Yeah, it's incredible. Like I said, it's our fifth year doing it, and we see a better response every year because of the impact and the positive outcomes, for sure.
Do you guys know about what the mileage in lines that you guys carry that you have to continue to maintain and make sure branches and such aren't falling on them?
I'm afraid to make a guess on that number, but far more than you would imagine. You know, you think about, you know, just to get to, you know, our homes, it's going to be 10, 20 miles in general. So I'm afraid to make a guess on that. I don't have that number on hand, but it's a hefty number.
And just thinking about kind of the scale. I mean, everybody, you drive around and there's power lines going everywhere. Yeah. Of course, there's some that are buried as well. But I don't think that, you know, a lot of people really kind of put into perspective what type of infrastructure it takes for even a small town like Sharon to get that power to them and then to take it all those different places. But when you get into Fort Mill and Rock Hill and down to Lancaster and then across the state where your presence is, I mean, you're talking about probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of miles of lines that zigzag throughout our counties. And it's an incredibly big effort to be able to maintain those. So, I think about that every time that I hear a tree creak, you know, during a severe storm, like, oh no, when's it going to happen? Thinking about the people who have to go out there and make those repairs to do it. So it's certainly a dangerous job, but one that I don't know that we give enough credit to.
Yeah, and you know, I'd be remiss to say, because you hit on it, I gave a lot of love to our emergency preparedness partners that are out there, but our line workers, linemen, line women, and even the support staff behind the scene that respond during that severe weather, you know, 4th of July weekend, birthdays, Christmas, overnight, anytime. So they're always on call. They're always right around the corner to get our power back on. And like you said, thousands of miles of line for just, you know, select few very special men and women to get that power back on. So, you know, anytime your power goes out, anytime it comes back on, anytime it's 100 degrees and you're nice and cool inside, think about those line workers that are keeping it on.
Absolutely.
Tyson, thank you for everything that Duke Energy does, especially over $500,000 in hero grants given around the state of South Carolina.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me on and let me brag about it.
She is Tyson Wright with Duke Energy, and it is 8:51 here on WRHI's Palmetto Mornings.
York, Lancaster, and Chester County continue to get the all clear on our Monday morning.